Dodge team. We still appreciate you this year, too. Yeah, we still appreciate you this year, too. Yeah, we do. Well, I've said it to many of you, and we've said it many times, but certainly Patty and I both wish you each a happy and blessed new year, and it's good to be together this morning. I trust and pray that this year, 2020, will be, it seems dumb to say a good one, like no kidding, right? We all hope it'll be a good one. A happy new year. We say Happy New Year with some presumptions, and I know there are lots of folks that go through things and that are, you know, there's times of struggle and there's times of joy and all of that. We acknowledge that always, but we trust and pray that this year, maybe it'll be one of healing. Maybe 2020 will be a year for you of restoration, of success, of growth, of spiritual formation, and many other such good things. Maybe not this way, but I saw someone wrote good and plenty in 2020. I don't know. Remember the candy good and plenty? Yeah. So, yeah, some of you older ones will know that. Actually, for some of us older folks, I'm actually sort of including myself as older. Do you remember Barbara Walters on TV? You've seen some of this stuff. Yeah, you're laughing. You remember that? For many years on television, it comes to mind for the show she hosted, which was called 2020. It's finally true. As people heard her say for those many years, this is 2020. And you may remember that. In the past week, you may have heard people referring to the idea that the 20s are back. Lori has said that to me this morning. Yeah, the roaring 20s. None of us here this morning were even alive in the 20s. There's nobody here 90 or older, right? You'd have to be 90 or older to, what? Huh? No, I'm not looking at you. Thank you. So people have said, and I've seen it inscribed in different places, you know, about the roaring 20s. The 20s are back. It was called the roaring 20s. I think it was because it was a time of economic prosperity and cultural edginess. So maybe in a sense, the 20s are back a little bit. It was a time, actually in the 20s, just so you know, it was a time that saw the large-scale development and use of automobiles. Yeah. And telephones. Some of you don't... Yeah, some of you, telephones are like almost done now. It was a time of movies were developing, and radio and electrical appliances were being installed in the lives and homes of the general population. You know, I thought a little bit, it sounds like today a little bit, with all of the gadgets that we can install in our homes and lives today. I can turn off a lamp in my living room by saying, Alexa, lamp off. And it goes off because I have a little plug and everything. Or I can say, Alexa, good night. And the lamp goes off. I got another plug for Christmas for something else that I can hook up in my home. Emma Flatt told me she knows how to text. Right? Tell me it's not those things coming into our lives and homes again. I see Emma Flatt on social media more than anybody else. Not because she has a Facebook page, but because she's on somebody else's pictures. So don't tell me those 20s aren't, you know, sort of, it's a little bit what's happening today, okay? You know, things are happening like that. Well, of course, we're also familiar with the phrase, hindsight is 2020. Hindsight is 2020. We know that looking back, we most often see things clearer than when we were heading into them. And so we say that hindsight is 20/20. We can see it better. We're also familiar with the idea that to have normal vision is called 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision is a term used to express, I love this, normal visual acuity. Phrase. Normal visual acuity. Acuity means simply clearness or clarity or sharpness of vision. And so 20/20 vision is a term used to express normal visual clarity or sharpness measured at a distance of 20 feet. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but if you have 20/20 vision, you can see clearly at 20 feet what should normally be seen at that distance. So if you had 20/100 vision, that means that you must be as close as 20 feet to see what a person with normal vision can see at 100 feet. So that's not all that great, but 20/100, that's what that means. Having 20/20 vision doesn't necessarily mean you have perfect vision. That's not what that means. It simply indicates the sharpness or the clarity of vision at a distance, a certain distance. Well, the word vision itself means, and you know, the ability or state of being able to see. That's one of the meanings of vision. But here's another meaning of the word vision. It also means the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. So it also means the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. Vision. And you know, vision, you know probably where I'm going with this, is something that the Bible talks about too. In the Old Testament, there's an awesome place in the book of either Habakkuk, if you want to say it that way, or Habakkuk, where we read this. The Lord God answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so anyone may easily read it. That's one version of that. The Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so anyone may easily read it. And it's in that spirit that we as leadership here at Pioneer Park Church believe that the vision that God's given us for this year, 2020, and beyond can be simply worded as you see it on the screen this morning. This is our vision for what we believe God is putting on our hearts for 2020 and beyond, simply to see more people do life with Jesus. That's what we believe, that all through God's word, he talks about that and the call to the church to see more people do life with Jesus. We've written it down clearly, not on tablets, but you'll see it in different places. And we've written it so that it can be easily read, to see more people do life with Jesus. You can't really state it much simpler than that. We believe that God has called us to be a church, to be his people, whose words and actions will result in seeing more people do life with Jesus. That's what this whole being a Christ follower is about. It's our call. And we're further convinced that this will happen as people encounter Jesus, as they experience Jesus, and as they express Jesus. And as we come to better express Jesus through our words and actions, others will then be able to encounter and experience and then express Jesus. And the result being that more people will get to do life with Jesus. Let me suggest to you this morning why this is important. The first thing that we need to know is that no matter what we're going through, what we feel about ourselves, life is good. Here's why. God created us. End of sentence. God created us. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Our very lives, the fact that we have life because he created it, is good. He created us, and he said that we are very good. But listen to this. Listen to this. Life with Jesus is better than life without. Life with Jesus is better than life without. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Jesus to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God's desire was and is to be in actual relationship with people. We see that right in the relationship, right in the creation account. In Genesis 3:8, it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, it says, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. Let's just stop there. The man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. It was normal for God to be with them in fellowship, in relationship, in that place, in the garden. It was familiar for God to be with them in the garden, in relationship. But this happened. Sin. Sin happened. Disobedience. We read right after that, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. You see, sin came into the world and there was a separation. They hid from him. Normally, they would be with him in good relationship, in unbroken relationship, walking, perhaps talking, being with him, whatever was going on then. Sin comes in and it broke that relationship, and it breaks that relationship to this day. Sin came into the world and there was a separation, a brokenness in that relationship, but Jesus came into the world to be the answer to that brokenness. We've just talked about that through this Christmas season, through celebrating the birth of Jesus. He came into the world to be the answer to that brokenness, that separation. And he did that through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That's another time we'll celebrate and talk about that in just a few months. You see, when we come to him, when we begin life with Jesus, when we confess our sin and receive forgiveness and invite him into our lives, life is better. Life is better. Life with Jesus is better than life without. And here are some reasons why. If you're a person who's doing life with Jesus, then the following things are true of you. You can say, I'm accepted. You can say, I am God's child. I am a friend of Jesus. I am justified before God. I am united with the Lord and I am one with him in spirit. I have been bought with a price and I belong to God. I'm a member of Jesus' body. I've been chosen by God and adopted as his child. We just read that. I've been redeemed and forgiven of my sins. I am complete in Jesus. I have direct access to God's grace through Jesus. Not only are we accepted, but we're secure. We can say, when we do life with Jesus, that I'm free from condemnation. I'm assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. And I am significant. I'm a branch of Jesus, the true vine, and through him I am able, whatever that is. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Is not life better with Jesus than without? If we can say all of those things as Christ followers are true, I'm not making it up. There's references right beside me. You want to look them all up yourself, you can go right ahead. I'd be glad for you to do that. Now, as awesome as these things are, it gets even better. Because God invites us to engage with him on a mission. That mission is to see more people do life with Jesus. To see others walk with God by doing life with Jesus. You see, God commissions or God calls us to be on mission with him. If you're a Christ follower, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you're walking with him, if you're walking with God, he has called you to be on mission with him. And that's kickstarted, I think, by Jesus' words that we see in John chapter 13. Jesus said, and this is how it starts out. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other like it's not like before you didn't have to love each other. But he's saying, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus also said that as believers, we're to love God and to love our neighbors. It's what we know as, have you ever heard of the Great Commandment? It's kind of a term we use or that's used to help us identify something. It's called the Great Commandment. And it goes like this. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says the entire law, that's all that was sort of the came before him, and all the teachings of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You see, what often first attracted people to Jesus was his concern for them. He fed, he healed, and he loved them. And we can't minimize this important aspect of seeing more people do life with Jesus. Well, but back to that fact that we're commissioned to be on mission with God. In Matthew 28, Jesus said this. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I'm with you always. I'm with you always, even to the end. Right to the end. I am with you always, I would say, and beyond. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's way more in the Bible about this, but that's what's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission sort of follows out of the Great Commandment to love, right? You know, we're not going to do this if we don't love. If we don't have God's love in our heart for others, the Great Commission comes out of the Great Commandment. The problem is that the Great Commission is hindered when the Great Commandment to love is ignored or disregarded. We don't need to recreate church. We need to live out our calling. In light of what Jesus has done for us, the world will know we are followers by our love. And so how do we... I can stand up here and say it all I want, but how do you engage God on this mission he's called us to? It sounds a little heady. It sounds a little wordy. How do we engage God on this mission he's called us to? How could we see more people do life with Jesus this year? Well, I'm going to suggest a way to start. Or maybe it's a way for you to continue that. First, this morning, I just want to encourage you, pray for a genuine concern for those who aren't doing life with Jesus. Pray for a genuine concern for those who aren't doing life with Jesus. Pray that Jesus' commandment to love others will become true in your heart and your life. You know, we get jaded. I get jaded. It means that we get tired. It means that we get exhausted. It means sometimes we get made dull. Apathy is another word that falls in there, or cynical because of our experiences or seeing too much of something. So here's what we can do. First, pray. Pray that God will soften our hearts and minds and attitudes toward those who aren't yet doing life with Jesus. And second, here's what we're going to invite you to do. We're encouraging you to make a list of up to 5 people that you can pray for this year. Make a list of up to 5 people you can pray for this year that they would begin doing life with Jesus. That they would begin doing life with Jesus. Pray for them as regularly as you can. Maybe pray for them in your life group, if you're attending a life group. Or if you want to keep their names a little more private, then do that. But pray for them. Make a list and pray for them. And here's a further invitation along with that. Here at Pioneer Park Church, we're going to suggest to you a time of fasting and prayer for the people on your list and for Pioneer Park Church too. And here's what we're suggesting. We're suggesting that the days of January 13th to the 15th, that's 13, 14, 15, that's next, not tomorrow, but that's next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that sometime during those days, that we would consider the possibility of fasting and praying for those people on our list, and for us as a church to make sure that we're continuing to follow God in what He's doing. And so we're suggesting the days of January 13th to the 15th ending on Wednesday night with a time of worship and prayer right here in the evening at 7 o'clock. And so we would have a time in your own places, wherever you are, just a time to maybe fast. We want to invite you to consider the possibility of fasting a meal, or maybe it's two, or whatever you might decide. And perhaps giving that time to praying for the folks on your list or for the church. Now I know that some folks can't do that. There are folks who just can't fast from food, and so maybe you'd consider fasting from something else. Maybe social media. Okay, go back to food. Maybe you'd consider fasting from social media for a set time, or maybe it's something else that you might say, I'm going to set this aside for a time to pray or read God's word or meditate, spend some time with Him, whatever God might prompt you to do. And then on Wednesday night, as you're able, we'll come together for a time of collective prayer and of worship as a way of concluding that time. And so we're inviting you to consider praying that God would just soften our hearts and maybe put in us a greater desire to see those who are not yet doing life with Jesus to do life with Him, and then to make a list of up to five people who we could pray for in this year that they would begin doing life with Jesus. And then sort of a way to start that off, we're inviting you to consider the possibility of maybe fasting from something. I don't mean the whole time. It might be one meal. It might be a certain set of hours or hour or moments that you would spend that time fasting and just maybe praying and talking to God, or maybe reading His word and praying for the people on that list. And then on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll meet together here, and maybe you'll have something to share and say, you know what, I was praying this week, and God really just put this on my heart. Or maybe that I was praying for this person, you know what, I ran into them. And you can't believe the conversation that God let us have, because He does that stuff too. And maybe if nothing happened, that's okay too. But we continue to pray and ask God to soften our hearts and to draw people to Him. Now on Wednesday night, we'll conclude that time, but that doesn't mean stop praying. That just means that time. Of course, keep praying other times too, and if you feel God leading you to fast at other times, by all means, do that too. Oh, by the way, fasting, I'm sorry, I assumed something. Fasting basically means giving up food or something else for a period of time in order to focus our thoughts on God. And again, when fasting like that, many people sometimes will read the Bible or pray or worship, and it's just singing some songs. It's a way of expressing to God the sincerity of what you're doing or praying about. And as we hold before us the vision of seeing more people do life with Jesus, we want to step out and ask God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. I don't know what that is. It's more than I could ask or imagine. We're going to ask Him this year that we would see 30 people baptized at Pioneer Park Church. Yeah. Not for our glory, not for our cool way to go-ness, rather for His glory. And that is not something that we can whip up or do from our own efforts. It's not going to happen. We believe that would be a God thing. And He can do more than we can ask or imagine. And so we're inviting you to join us in believing God this year for at least 30 people to be baptized to publicly say, I'm doing life with Jesus here at Pioneer Park Church. And I just want to invite you to let's trust Him together and pray that we would see Him do great things as we engage with Him on mission. Engaging is when you connect with, and then you continue that. And so this is just, maybe this is a way that we can begin to engage or continue on mission with God. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy and the Holy Spirit. Why? That we might see more people do life with Jesus by encountering Jesus, by experiencing Jesus, and by expressing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes in our walk with You, we're pretty cautious. We just don't fully take You for the God who is able to do immeasurably far more than all we can ask or imagine, than we might expect. Lord, I pray You would help us this year as individuals, as families, as a church. God, would You stir our hearts? Would You give us an even greater, or start within us, a concern for those who are apart from You? Not that we just come here every week and have a nice time and eat together and then go and be strengthened for the week. Yeah, that too. But that You would stir within us a passion, a compassion for those who are apart from You, who have yet to begin that life with You. Lord, would You put on our hearts and minds maybe those who we could pray for this year? Father, would You help us just maybe to step out and try something? Maybe we don't even want to do it. But would You, again, just stir within our hearts to maybe even give it a try? Father, just to trust You and step out with You and see that You really are the God who does far more than we can ask or imagine. So we give it to You. We ask these things. And we thank You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.